I catch a lot of different news feeds, all sorts of information from all sorts of sources. Did anyone hear, and I just found this out this morning, so there was 46 to 50 Christians killed in Nigeria and the Congo the week of Christmas. Did anyone else hear that? So here are our brothers and sisters throughout the world that on Christmas week, and there was 33 of them alone on Christmas Day were martyred just because of their faith of who they put their trust in as their salvation, in our Savior, Jesus Christ. 33 people in Nigeria and the Congo, and we don't hear anything about it. That shocked me. I caught it on this, so then I Googled it, and there was two sources that pulled it up, but otherwise, you don't hear anything about it. We hear about the political realm, we hear about all this other stuff, the economy, jobs, GDP, you go on, you just hear all this stuff, but yet there's these Christians, these believers, our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted and mowed down. It was a shocker to me. So, I wanted to pray for those families this morning as, Christians across the world are being persecuted and we are here, right? We're here. We get in our car. We, what a blessing. We walk out of our house, our warm house that for most of us, we just turn the thermostat up. Even years ago, we're not feeding the wood stove or the coal stove. When I was a kid, my job every morning and every night, I'd go down and shake the coal. You remember those coal shakers? You go down, shake out all the ashes, drug it out in the snow, throw the bucket of ashes over the hill. As a kid, that was fun. Atlee, poor kid. Anyway, so since we're starting jokes now, since it's Atlee starting the jokes, that's a great joke. He got me back on track. So New Year's resolutions, right? There was someone in the prayer room. This is not true, but there was someone in the prayer room, made up story, that was praying, and I overheard them. So they were in there praying, and I said, Lord, my resolution this year is that I would have a big fat bank account and a thin body. And then I heard him pray, said, but please don't mix it up like you did last year. And reverse it. Thin bank account and a big fat body, right? So we all know how that is. And then with the New Year's resolution, I asked somebody, what's your New Year's resolution? And they said, well, it's to start to procrastinate. I think this might have been Bob. Did I ask you this, Bob? And he said, and I said, so when are you going to start? He goes, I'm going to start tomorrow. Procrastination, starting tomorrow. Okay. So now, with all that, then John and Janet, you didn't hear my updated from last year or last week. So I got these joke cards. Were you guys here last week? So I got these joke cards for Christmas. So, they're hundreds of them, dad jokes, and they're great. Well, a couple of them were stupid last week, but so once a week, I'm gonna read a new card that I don't know what to say, so I'm gonna pull that card out this week. And the joke of the week is, and they're the dad jokes, why do cows wear bells? Because their horns don't work. Okay. All right. So we'll get that was a good one this week. Okay. Let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for laughter. Lord, we thank you for fellowship. We thank you for worship. Lord, I just pray. I think of these families in the Congo and Nigeria and other Christians throughout the world that are being persecuted for their love for you. Lord, I pray for their encouragement to continue to remain strong in their faith, that they will know that that people are praying for them, and that we are brothers and sisters, even though we're in different parts of the world. Lord, I pray for their safety. I pray for their encouragement in their mind, that they can continue to serve you, walk for you, and uphold your name. Pray for the families, even in the United States, where people have been killed this past week through terrorism and everything else that we have around us, Lord. And you know, as you look down, you see it way more than we do. And Lord, but we pray for those people. We pray for people to find a sense of peace within you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Stephen. So as we talked about last week, looking at the end of last year, and kind of pulled out Stephen with the how Stephen went from, and the apostles went from, this is what we have done, this is what worked in the past, and now it's not working. So then we went to look at Stephen as he came in, as he was appointed as a deacon, right? So they were known as the seven, the apostles were known as the 12, and then these deacons, this group of men that were commissioned, they became known as the seven, which we call as the deacons, but they were known at the time as the seven. So we started to look and say, well, what worked last year? How can we expand? What can we do better? What can we look at? What do we have to do? Just like the apostles did in the early church. And that kind of started me into Stephen. So we're going to, as we continue down Stephen. So last week, we talked about Stephen, and we're going to be in Acts 6, 8 through 15 today. But we talked about Stephen last week. We looked at Stephen and what was he commissioned for. And once again, Stephen, the first martyr after Christ, right? He was the first persecuted Christian and martyred Christian. And he wasn't an apostle. He wasn't an elder. He was a deacon. And he was murdered before what he said and what he did and how he spoke, as we look at Stephen. So last week we looked at Stephen, and he was, what was he? He was full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and he was devoted 100% to Christ. But he was those two things. He was a man full of faith and full of the Spirit. I looked at that this week and I said, full of the Spirit. Many times, and I think that like many times, and I'm not judging anybody, I'm judging me when I say this. I'm judging just me when I say this. Many, many, many times, I ask myself, am I full of the Spirit? Am I walking in the Spirit right now? And I ask myself that. And as I reflected on last year, I said, how many times was I doing things maybe under my own power, right? And pushing forward like a bullhead in my own power, and didn't step back and really rely on the Spirit to guide me. That's a fault of mine, right? I think it's a fault of probably a lot of men that we just push forward because that's the thing to do. So I reflected on that this past week, and it kind of made me think of Stephen. So, Acts 6, verse 8, we're going to start. I'm going to read it through 8 through 15. We'll get through this chapter. Now, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose. That's today's message, when opposition arises, right? Opposition. So here's Stephen, a man full of the Spirit, full of faith, and well, how can opposition, you're walking in the Spirit, how can opposition come, right? Well, how can that? So that's what we see. Early church. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the province of Cilicia and Asia. The men began to argue with Stephen, but they did not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Then they, the synagogue, then they secretly persuaded some men to say, we have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, this fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Okay. When opposition arises, as we look at this year, and when we look and think about opposition, I looked at this. And so here was this opposition that rose against Stephen. It wasn't the opposition against the apostles. It wasn't that opposition. It was opposition against a commissioned deacon, a commissioned man who was called to serve, which we know was called to serve the people. How is he called first to do the distribution of food to a certain group of Jewish women, right? And widows. That's what he was called to do. But within that, so that's many times we think, and not calling out deacons. Tom, you're a deacon, right? This year. So maybe there's some miraculous sign Tom's going to be doing this year, but I'm just saying, you know. So here is a deacon commissioned by the apostles. And some people think that the deacons here, because we see these miraculous signs, which I don't know what those signs were. It doesn't say what those signs were. But he had miraculous signs. That's what it says. He did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. I don't know what they were. And some people think that the apostles laid their hands on Stephen and the group of the seven men, that's when they got these powers, like the spirit powers that came into them from the apostles. That's what some people think. I tend to think this, kind of like the apostles, and this is just my thought based on what I read of scripture. I kind of think that the power of the spirit that came, that was on Stephen, was it placed by the apostles' hands in prayer? I'm guessing that gift of the Spirit that Stephen had to him by God, because that's who administers the Spirit, right? I mean, we can lay hands on people, but ultimately, where does that come from? Right? Ultimately, where does that power of the Spirit, which my prayer this year is that we as people begin to open our life and a more of a control of our life so the Spirit works through us instead of just us working what we think we need to do, right? So God releases the Spirit however he wants to administer it. So if it came through the laying of hands or not, I don't know. But what I do know is what we know about Stephen is this. Stephen, when we talked about it, what was he? Stephen was full of faith and the Holy and full of the Holy Spirit. So that's who he was even before he was had the hands laid on by the apostles. He was full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. So here now we see Stephen and the opposition, because why? This opposition rose because he was out. He was shaking things up, right? Because how many times do we see people, we look at people, and we see now here who opposes him? It was this synagogue. The synagogue that we're talking about here is the same synagogue. Many people think this is the synagogue where Paul came from. Saul. Sorry. Saul. Because as we keep reading in Stephen's story, we see the first mention of Saul that comes up in chapter 7, and we'll get there. But and that was before he was Paul. But it was this synagogue, and it was this, it was a Grecian, it was the Greek section of the Jews. So remember, the battle started between the Hebrew Jews and the Grecian Jews of how the food was being distributed, and then this committee, and then the synagogue of the Grecian Jews still had a problem. They still had a problem. And opposition continues to still pour down on the early church. And the focus now became on Stephen, because Stephen, man full of the spirit and of faith, and he was walking that way in his life, right? He was walking that way that you could look at him and people noticed. That's why he became a target. That's why the opposition came to Stephen, because he was walking in a way that brought attention to him, not to him, but to what was flowing out of him was the Spirit. And out of that, these miraculous signs came from Stephen. This Jewish synagogue, as they came and they brought him up before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, right? So, I could have went a million different ways here. I really tried to stay focused on Stephen, because when you start peeling this onion back, I mean, it just peels and peels everywhere, from Saul being part of that to the Sanhedrin to the Grecian Jews and the Hebrew Jews on how that looked. Even more, right? Because how many people understand the whole history of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Does everyone get that 100%? Right. So, because we read about it. We talk and we see in time of Christ the Pharisees. So I could have started peeling that onion back. I'm like, I can't go there. We'll get there at some point now, because I was like, how many people really understand the whole segment here that stemmed from the Old Testament, from the law? From the Torah. Where does that lie? And then the Sanhedrin. So do we know what the Sanhedrin is? It's another story. We see the Sanhedrin where Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin, right? Well, how much do we know about the Sanhedrin? This is one I will step in, because this is the authority now that is also in the story that comes further about Stephen. But the Sanhedrin, in the Torah, the Jewish custom, the Jewish law set up the legal system. And in that legal system, the towns, if they didn't have enough people, they had judges and courts. And there's like the men of the town would be overseeing the judge. And then if the towns and the cities had enough people, I think it was 120 men of a household, then that's where they would have a Sanhedrin. So the group of men, these leaders, this assembly, the Sanhedrin was, if you think about our court system, we have local court, we have state court, we have federal court. The Sanhedrin was like the federal court. The Sanhedrin was like the Supreme Court. This is like, for the religious section here, that was the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. And that's where Stephen was going to be called up to, and that's where we see him as he goes. So Stephen, in verse 6 through verse 10, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stay. This wisdom, the wisdom that Stephen had, as we see in verse 8. Now Stephen, a full man of God's grace and power, did great wonders, miraculous signs amongst the people. We drop down to 10. But they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit of which he spoke. The wisdom of which he spoke. Proverbs talks about it. Proverbs talks about wisdom. Proverbs 2. And I'm going to start in verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. The Lord, verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. We're going to, actually, I have to rabbit trail to back to chapter, verse 1 and 2. It says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight, this is where we need to be. And if you call out, how many times don't we call out? How many times are we running our way? And I'm speaking Jeff talk now, speaking self-talk. Jeff, how many times, not you, Jeff, I'm sure you don't do this, but this Jeff does. How many times, Jeff, do I just run? What's scripture tell me to do? It says, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. I need to be praying for God's wisdom to be just like Solomon did, right? Praying for what? He didn't pray for riches and all this other stuff. He prayed for wisdom. I've been praying for wisdom for me. I've been praying for wisdom for this church. Wisdom that God wants to give us. That he says, if you call out for this year for everyone in this church is to pray for wisdom for you, for leaders in the church, for this church, and so on down the line. But specifically it says, if you call out and search for it. To me, I'm looking at that saying that's a call to us. Search for it. Call it out. And that's where Stephen was. He was a man full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. Which then takes you when you talk about wisdom. And this kind of runs back down to, and I have to go back to this because Jen brought it up this morning. This was another rabbit trail. I didn't want to go down, but since she touched on it this morning, she talked about this morning when she was speaking just about how we are in God's hand, right? That we walk through things and we're in God's hand and he has control of things even though we can't see it. When we look at wisdom, we look at Stephen's story. This is and where people say, hey, this didn't happen the way I want. I'm backing away. I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe in Jesus. Forget it. I'm out of here. Christianity is something of the past. It doesn't happen anymore. No way. And they walk away from the faith. So that didn't happen to Stephen. But then when you get down into Proverbs 2, it talks more. It says in verse 12, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. Applied that verse right to Proverbs to Stephen. Does it ring true? No, it doesn't. Because what do we know about Stephen? We see it. We saw this morning that these men rose up against him. The men within his own countrymen, his own religious people that came against him to Proverbs. That's a question that I had. I'm like, Lord, if Steve was a man walking in wisdom, this rabbit trail I'm blaming on Jeff, but if you're a man walking in wisdom, Stephen was walking in wisdom, and then these men rose up against him, And then what we know at the end of the story is that he was martyred. Did this hold true in verse 12? Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. That is still 100% true. Why? We know Stephen was killed. But what we don't know is, and this is the truth, Stephen was walking in wisdom. It doesn't say that we're going to not die. It doesn't say that we're not going to be persecuted. It says wisdom will enter, just 12. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. Stephen was saved, regardless of the fact if he was killed on earth. He was saved. Why? After we think about things so much in our human, our earthly context. If we don't get what we want, you read that verse, and if you look at the context, yep, Stephen, that didn't hold true. But it did hold true. If you look at it from the spiritual side of things, Stephen, a man full of wisdom, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, commissioned by the apostle, who did wonderful signs, served the people, was handing plates to people, cups to people, helping people. He was probably running around getting firewood and who knows else what this guy was doing, and loving the Lord the whole time and taking care of others. And he was walking in faith, walking in wisdom. And as that took place, these people heard what he spoke. And then the opposition arose and came up about it. We see here that, well, he shouldn't have died. He shouldn't have died because scripture says if you walk with wisdom, you're going to not be persecuted. You're going to be okay. On the earthly sense, okay, maybe. But on the spiritual sense, guess what happens? The spiritual sense, Stephen was killed, and where did he go? He was saved by that, just like that verse says, he was saved. I was like, okay. The spiritual mindset, we've talked about it this past year, about the heavenly realms that we don't see, we don't understand. That's where our minds need to start thinking more of that level of this spiritual realm, because that's what Proverbs there was talking about. I know I'm running out on time. But when we talk about wisdom, Ecclesiastes also talks about wisdom. When we talk about this to the Sanhedrin as they're judging him and looking at him, because now his own brothers, his own countrymen, they look at him, this man that was full of the Spirit, and they judge him on what he was saying. They judge him on how he was acting and what he was doing. Why were they doing that? I can only imagine that the guys in the synagogue, were they losing some type of prophet? You know what I mean? It's like, how many times do we know humanity and people run on prophet? So it was now Stephen, who was also a Grecian Jew, that these Grecian Jews came up against from the synagogue, was he cutting into their profit margins? I don't know. You know, I really don't know. But something that really stirred them up, and I'm assuming we know how money is, that it probably stemmed on somewhere like, hey, now this Grecian Jew that was just commissioned by the apostle, who's walking in faith and really is taking care of people and loving people, look, they're giving them, they're taking care of these people and they're getting food. Well, we're doing that and a prophet. That happened? Sure, I don't know. But something really caused a problem there. We know that the love of money is the root of all evil. We see the same thing when it happened with Judas, that give me the coin and I'm going to give you Jesus. And well, why not here? Just looking at the statistics of humans and the love of money. So that could have happened. So as we get through and continue to go down and look at, I'm sorry, we're going back to Ecclesiastes, where we talked about how he looked. He looked at, the scripture talks about the face of an angel. That's how he looked like he had the face of an angel when you read that. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin, the council, the Supreme Court, looked intently at Stephen, just like I'm looking at you, Stan. They were looking at him. And as they looked at him, it says, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Do you think the Sanhedrin, these religious men that weren't living by the Spirit, they were living by judgment, they were living by doctrine only, they were living by law, like that's what that legalism, that's what was driving them. And when they looked at Stephen, they saw something was different. Scripture says there's something different about it. Ecclesiastes 8:1 says this. Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? Wisdom brightens a man's face and changes its hard appearance. What are they looking at, Stephen? Noticing something different because of this wisdom that he had? It changed his hard, bitter appearance. I read an article that the Pope, one of my news feeds is from the Catholic agency, right? So the Pope, I had to laugh because how many times do we think about nuns? Like you hear about nuns and people have, I've never been to Catholic high school or whatever, but people talk about nuns and they always talk about those sisters, they hit me with the ruler, you know. So the Pope came out and said, and it kind of made me think of this verse that he was speaking to the nuns. He said, it's time to get that vinegar face off. Like that sour look. It's like it doesn't bring people to like love the Lord. They see this sour vinegar face and it's like, it scares them off. So I just thought that was funny. But wisdom, brightens your face. Wisdom. So Stephen, we know he was a man full of wisdom. We know he's a man full of walking in the Spirit. We know he was commissioned by the apostles. Where does that leave us? How do we apply that for us today as we look at our church? What, as we kind of peel back the onion of this church and where we were and where we're going? As I looked at it, I was thinking about, opposition came from his own countrymen. Opposition can come from all around. And this church has known just as well through a congregation that was full and then through battles amongst the church. The opposition arose within this church, didn't it? And things splintered. And now we're in pickup mode. The opposition started amongst the religious people. So if we're only following religion and we're not following what the Spirit and how He guides us, then we're going to be just like that. We're going to be full of legalism. We're going to be full of hate. We're going to be full of judgment because all we can see is religion, rigor. We're not letting the Spirit speak to us. We're not letting the Spirit flow through us. We need to let the Spirit speak to us. And that means this year, we need to step back and take time in our personal lives to listen, to call out and ask for wisdom. Because Scripture tells us if we call out and search, we're going to get it. If you're living by faith, I'm going to live by that faith statement that if we call out, then we are going to get that wisdom. Because if we search for it, Scripture says He will give it to us. So we need to listen and be taught by the Spirit. I won't have time to get into, that's another verse I wanted to, I can't get there. John 14:26 talks about the Spirit. And it talks about when the Spirit was released, this is how Stephen was. When the Spirit was released, what did the Spirit do? The Spirit was there to teach us. The Spirit was teaching Stephen. And Stephen was listening. And as Stephen listened and was guided by the Spirit, it took him to this dimension of a level of Christianity, not by anything guru-ish or whatever, but just by him listening and letting the Spirit work through his life. We can all do that. We can all do that. So we need to be filled with God's grace. We need to walk in faith and wisdom. And then power to serve others. You know, Stephen was given this power and he served others. I know I'm at my time. But I can't speak, like when I looked at this, I can't speak about this enough. We as a church, I don't want to walk on my own intuition or my own humanistic mindset. We need to call out, and we're going to pray about this morning. Let's just end in prayer right now. Lord God, as we opened your word this morning, you tell us, Lord, your scripture tells us, and I come before you very, very humbly, Lord. You tell us that you will give us wisdom if we ask for it, if we search for it. Lord, I'm asking for wisdom. For me personally, for wisdom, I'm asking that. For this church, for people in this church, Lord, I'm asking for a wisdom that comes before us as people in this church, that we can understand your wisdom. And then, Lord, help us to understand your wisdom. And help us understand of that wisdom of the Spirit as the Spirit is supposed to teach us and guide us. And if we would only get out of the way and let the Spirit do that in our life. Lord, help us connect with the Spirit in our life. Help us, because we know, Lord, if we allow the Spirit to work in our life, that's going to flow out of us. That's going to flow out of us on what we say, how we deal with people, even how we look. So we don't have the vinegar face. We're going to have this bright face, Lord, this encouraging face of something's different, Lord. Lord, I pray for that for me, and I pray for that for this church, Lord. Help us to be encouragement to people of what our purpose is of this church. In your name we pray. Amen. As we leave, I'm just going to say we're going to go to the purpose of the church. I might just do that all year long. Purpose of this church. As we leave, and then we're dismissed. And you can get up, you can stand up, get your stuff together as we're going. Purpose of this church. The purpose of this church shall be to reach lost people, to establish and strengthen the Christian life of each member and congregant through providing opportunities for worship, instruction, fellowship, service, mutual aid, brotherly love, brotherly counsel, and evangelism. The first one is to reach lost people, the purpose of this church. I said you could go. You don't have to sit here. And I love you guys. God bless everyone.